Hey, Fabienne Raphael here, and I want to welcome you to another episode of Marketing to Crush Your Competitors podcast. You might be an entrepreneur who has an expertise and who is just looking forward to share it with the world, but you have no clue how to start that. And you really want to earn that extra income because you're tired of trading time for money and you want to spend more time with your loved ones. So if you're ready to finally turn your expertise into profits, well, I invite you to get my free guide called The 7-Step Blueprint to Launching Profitable Online Courses. So to get that, it's easy. You just go at 1kandbeyond.com and that will be it. You'll get access. So 1kandbeyond.com. Marketing to Crush Your Competitors podcast, episode 258.
This is the place where successful entrepreneurs share their hustle to get where they are today. Discover how not taking no for an answer led them to achieve their goals. Learn about who inspired them and how they use marketing to crush it in their business. Get financial, spiritual, emotional, and physical tips that are working for them right now. This is the Marketing to Crush Your Competitors podcast. Here's Fabienne Raphael.
Yeah, it's me again, Fabienne Raphael, for another episode of Marketing to Crush Your Competitors podcast. And before we go on with the introduction of our guest this week, I just wanted to let you know, I think I let you know already a couple of weeks ago, but I'm in the middle of a brand shift. And it's been a while I've been thinking about that. And I feel like you must know because you are the people listening to the podcast week after week. So I'm going to switch my name to 1K and Beyond. I actually already started this website with a blog, 1kandbeyond.com/blog, where I write every week about turning your expertise into profits and how to help you grow that online business of yours and finally get that first $1,000 online and beyond. So I'm helping you with that with 1K and Beyond. And the thing is, with my podcast, well, I have to figure out what I do with it. Do I keep the same feed and just change the name, or I start a brand new podcast with that 1K and Beyond name and just let go of Marketing to Crush Your Competitors? So for this, I want to have your opinion on it, and I'm really, really looking forward to hear from you about it. So if you go at marketingtocrushyourcompetitorspodcast.com, there's an orange box on the right side where you could leave a voice message. So I would love to hear you about that. What do you think would be the best for you? Do you want to keep Marketing to Crush Your Competitors podcast, the same feed, or you would rather start with another feed with 1K and Beyond, or will it make you continue to listen to the podcast? Will it make you change your brand also? Maybe you've been thinking about a brand shift also. So let me know about this, okay? So just go on my website, marketingtocrushyourcompetitorspodcast.com, and leave me a voice message. And I'll be so grateful to hear from you. So this week's episode is with Al Emmerich. And we have a very great conversation about your value and your values. And he makes a comparison about the two words, of course, which I won't say now because you need to listen to all the interview to get it. But also, this interview in particular really helps with getting the message right when you want to communicate with your audience, when you want to communicate in your marketing strategies or anywhere that has to do with promoting your business, how you communicate and how you understand and discover your real value in order to put that value also into all your messaging, but also help the people in your team that work with you understand your true values and reflect that when they have to deal with customers. So yeah, listen to this very interesting interview and I'll see you at the back end. What's up, All-Star Team? Welcome to another episode of Marketing to Crush Your Competitors podcast. Today, my guest is Al Emmerich, and he's the founder and value geneticist at Value Mapping. And Value Mapping helps organizations and people discover, understand, and communicate their value more deeply and authentically to grow and live an enriched life. So that's very inspiring. Al, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you, Fabian. It's an honor to be here with you.
Well, my first question would be the term value geneticist. I don't even know if I pronounce it good because, you know, I'm French speaking first. So is that how I pronounce it? Geneticist?
Yeah. It's like my friend said to me, they were like, well, you just put the word geneticist on your title so you'd look smart. And I'm like, well, yeah, maybe so.
So but does that mean that each person's values can be encrypted in their DNA?
That is true. And I want to be real clear up front. It's the difference between value and values. They support each other. But just as your values are kind of encrypted in your DNA, as well as they're a part of your experience of what you go through in life, your value is partially encrypted in your DNA, but also it's the sum of all of your experiences, both how you perceive yourself and how others perceive you and how you communicate that story.
So this term is very unique to you.
Yeah, value mapping is you know, the term is really the root value. And mm-hmm. I was just very blessed and fortunate in my career and in my personal life to always be surrounded, for the most part, by people who empowered me to really understand my value and to share that respectfully with others and to use that value for good. And so many people struggle to really do that and tap into what makes them special. It gets wrapped into a sexy marketing term like value proposition, or it gets thrown into some empowerment speech that you pay money to go see. But in actuality, it's something you have to actualize, share, and connect with others and cultivate.
Well, why then would you think that a lot of people have problems stepping into their own value? Is that because, I don't know, the pressure that society might give them? Is that because they're too shy of being exposed? Is there another reason?
I think there's a sum of reasons, because we're not just talking about people, we're talking about companies. Mm-hmm. And of course, if you're looking at a company, it's a sum of its people.
Yeah.
And so leaders have to build a company where the product or service they're delivering, they're communicating that value to their consumer. And to answer your question in that vein, I think a lot of the reason companies struggle is sometimes they think about what they do and they don't think about the impact of what they do. And really, value is the lens of impact. If you're going to sell me something or you're going to provide me with something, but I don't understand, and the people who are selling it and communicating it don't understand the value, then it's not going to be successful. Mm-hmm. Likewise, for individuals, I think one of the main reasons we struggle with our value is because we focus too much on what we do instead of our impact. And thus, if you really look at the landscape of your personal and professional life, and you start simply asking the question, what's been the impact of this activity? What's been the impact of this experience? And then you ask others and dare to step out into that ledge and have others provide you with that feedback, that's when you can grow. But until you do that, I think that's one of the reasons people struggle. They don't ask, and what they do ask is the wrong question. Instead of impact, it's about the do.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So you're basically saying that people care more about like what you made them feel like, or what you accomplished for them, or what impact, yes, you had on them, than actually what you were doing. So the consequence or the result of what you've been doing for them.
Exactly. Here's a perfect example. We have a customer who works in the facilities management arena. In other words, these are folks who torque a lot of wrenches and fix a lot of broken stuff for their customers, and it's a very labor intensive job. And, you know, I asked this one particular gentleman once, you know, what do you do? And he says, oh, I'm a maintenance supervisor. And, you know, when you say you're a maintenance supervisor, if you don't have an understanding of what a maintenance supervisor does, or if you do have a perception of what it is, that doesn't mean you actually understand the value. And thus I said to him real quickly, I was like, well, what do you think is one word that defines your value to your job? Mm-hmm. He paused for a moment. He's like, well, that's a good question. He's like, I guess, I don't know, repair. And I said, okay. And what's the impact of you repairing something? He says, well, things get fixed and people can get back to work and things run more smoothly. Huh. And I said, okay, well, let me ask you something. Are you really a maintenance supervisor, or are you somebody who helps businesses get back to moving forward more efficiently because you smoothed the rails because you fixed something? And he was like, oh my gosh, that's amazing. He's like, you're right. And the same thing happened with a gentleman who was a sanitation guy, right? And I met him and I asked him what he did. He says, oh, I'm in trash. I'm a garbage man.
Okay. And I'm like, in trash.
I'm in trash. I'm like, okay. I was like, okay. Dude. I was like, dude, what happens if you don't pick up the trash? He's like, well, stuff gets nasty and it's exactly. gross. And I said, okay. And I said, so what's the value that you bring to your work every day? What's one word that defines your value? He says, I don't know. I guess clean, mm-hmm. cleanliness. Mm-hmm. I said, okay. And then what's the impact of that to the people who you're cleaning? And, you know, the guy he came back to me a couple of days later and he was like, you know, I just realized for the first time in my life that I'm not a trash man. What I am is I'm somebody who makes where we work a better place so that people can feel good about where they're working exactly. and spending 8 hours a day. And so it's that shift in perspective, which isn't rocket science, Fabian, but I think when it comes to businesses and it comes to startups or corporations or nonprofits, name your business. Across every landscape, we have seen this consistent challenge of, gosh, I really want a better, I know there's more to what I'm doing.
Yeah.
And so as the value geneticist, you asked the question about the DNA. If you don't believe your value in your own being, in your own bones, who's going to believe it? If you're a company, your customers aren't going to believe it. If you're an individual, your friends and peers aren't going to believe it if you don't believe it down to your DNA.
Yeah. And I love the examples that you gave there because it's funny because a lot of experts who I'm working with, they want to start their online business and they struggle with the messaging or attracting the right audience to their business. And one of the problems is exactly what you expressed, because they're too focused on what they do, but not necessarily on what impact or what result they can bring or what solution they can solve. And from the reflection you did with that person working in maintenance and the other one working with the trash is that, well, it's more than that. It's more than maintenance. It's more than trash. And you have to find exactly the right words to make that person almost imagine that result for their life and see the value that you could bring to their lives and then do business with you or being attracted to your product or to your service because of how you expressed it. So if I go back to exactly what you said, let's take someone that is willing to start their business or has a company, a startup, and they're looking to express their message the right way. Are there any what question would they ask themselves first, and how deep should they go into answering these questions before they go on with, okay, attracting or finding their audience or attracting that audience?
Well, I think the first question has to be for somebody that's starting the business or growing a business is, what's my value to this project, right? Meaning, what is my impact to this project? Because so many businesses fail or struggle because they don't have the right people on the bench. As a founder myself who started my own company and value mapping is in its own right a startup, and if I don't have the right people on the bench, and let alone if I don't understand my value, you're not going to make it through the stormy days when you're going, why the heck am I doing this? This is crazy. By the same token, you're not going to attract the right people. So when you start to say, what's my value to my company, my project, and what's my impact, and then what are the impacts, what's the value, what type of value do I need sitting around the table? We tend to look at our companies just as we would look at a project or a team based on a title. You know, you think you need to have a financial person, which you probably do, okay? But what type of financial person? Do you need a financial person who's strictly a monetization bean counting person? Mm-hmm. Or do you need a financial analyst who can think through numbers and help you tell a better story through your numbers? And when you start to ask the question of what word would describe the value of the person I need in this role, you begin to look at the lens of the impact of those people to your team, and thus that really starts to build your team. Next, the product. You know, what's you know, this the age-old solution with Lean Canvas, you know, problem solution, but what's the value that this thing I'm creating is going to offer to the customer? And do I know who those customer segments are? And starting to go down that area can lead to a rabbit hole, but you have to get there eventually because you need to understand who your audience and your customer is. But at the end of the day, it starts, I believe, with a very direct question of what's my value, what's the product's value or service's value, and how is it impacting the customer? And then that's a baseline to both build a team as well as to have a conversation with your customer in very short order. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean you should the business principles that of Lean Canvas or of pick your poison, but to at least get started, I think if you start with a value-based business and you're using that approach, you're at a better starting point.
It's so funny that you say that because you, again, made a point about how values are important when you're hiring people or when you're building your team or working with freelancers. They have to share the same value. And I have to admit, well, along my entrepreneurial journey, I have not necessarily always made the right choices with working with the right people. And I remember that I have once hired a coach that didn't have the same value as I did. And then at a certain point, it's as if it's a shock and you realize that you're like, wait a minute, like, let me go back to, first of all, what was my purpose with my business? Second of all, where I want to go with this. And then third of all, what we're working on, is it exactly who I am, or I'm trying to be someone that my coach wants me to be? And then at a certain point, realized that it was wrong and we had to just split and just stop. But again, it was because at that time or at that point, I haven't like made that thought or really reflect on, okay, so his values, my values, are they similar and are we going in the same direction? It was not. And then it happened also with people that I hired sometimes and then realized, okay, doing the interview and like, no, sometimes the person knows more or they have more credentials or more experience. But then sometimes also you have someone with less experience, but fits so much more with your values that it goes so much better with that person instead of another one. So I find that what you expressed there about building the team and knowing exactly what your values are before expanding or before going bigger with your business, well, it's a very good point.
Well, and thank you. I really appreciate that. And I want to go back to something we said in the beginning. It's the difference between and yet the connection between your values and your value. So value mapping doesn't necessarily focus on core values. But we always encourage our customers and the people we work with and consult with and advise that your values are intimately connected to your value and in both ways. So if your values say that, you know, hey, I can cut corners and I can cheat. Well, that ultimately is going to put your value at stake because mm-hmm. once it's revealed to your teammates or your customer, then you all of a sudden, your value goes down. Conversely, if you have an employee or an associate or a partner who doesn't feel valued, that you know their value is not being recognized, or their value has expended its lifespan, then it's possible that their values may come into question. Meaning, hey, listen, if I'm not valued here, what does it matter if I take an extra day off? Or what does it matter if I lie on my time card? So there's an intimate connection. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's a great story that was just put out on LinkedIn. And it was about the story. It's about the firing of Elon Musk's assistant. You know, mm-hmm. Elon Musk just recently, I took exception with the headline because they said it was a brutal firing, and who knows unless you're actually sitting there.
Yeah.
But basically, what happened was after 10 years, she was let go. She asked for a raise, and Elon Musk said, "Well, tell you what, take 2 weeks off. I'm going to do your job for 2 weeks, and I'm going to see if what you're doing is still a value to me." And he offered her, and when he came back 2 weeks later, he realized that he needed somebody else in that position and that the raise wasn't appropriate. And he offered her another position in the company. He severanced the whole nine yards. And what he really needed, he realized, was a specialist, not a generalist. And thus, her value to him changed over time. Now, had she stayed in that job or maybe not wanted to remain in that company but did remain, then her values might come into question because she thinks her value has now been challenged.
Mm-hmm.
And thus, that's an example of where she exited, she went to another job, and because she wants to go to a place where she feels valued. And just like Elon Musk wants somebody in the role of his assistant, that he feels provides value. And so having a conversation about this as a company, as an owner in the very beginning is critical to understand the relationship between values and value. Value mapping is about identifying and communicating and sharing your value. So at the end of the day, you know, you are communicating to your customers so you can sell more stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You are creating a culture of communication and engagement. And if you're a leader, you're leading through the communication of value of the most critical components of your business, strategy, tactics, all those components. But along the way, if you've got people whose values are being diminished or your values are coming into question, it will definitely affect your value.
Hmm. And I love your example. And I know that lately on your blog, you actually explained there was an interesting blog post on Amazon's success on the Prime Day sale, and they did $1 billion, and you explain how Amazon is great at understanding not only their own value, but the value of their customers. So, or understand like what their customer really want to have, and that extra care makes them so successful. So I just want you to say a couple of words on that, because I found this article was very interesting.
Ah, thanks. I appreciate you. I'm glad somebody reads it. So basically, you know, here's a company that is invested extremely heavily, and like them or love them, okay, they've invested an immense amount of money in understanding you and in understanding mm-hmm. what matters to you. And thus they build a product and a service that delivers things to you when you most need them. And this bridging of, and I call it, you know, Amazon's greatest accomplishment is the bridging of basic human needs with the understanding of the impact in our lives all of those needs have. So at any given moment when you need something, Amazon is there.
Mm-hmm.
And thus they've done all this gobs of research over the years to understand that if you need that thing at that moment, and it can be there, then they're not just providing value to you, they're intrinsically providing value because the thing you needed is valuable to you.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like this double layer, and it's just this double layer of impact. You don't think about Amazon through their impact. You just go, hey, wow, when I need it, it's there. Or when I need to get it, I can go ahead and, you know, say, hey, I forgot her name, but their voice command thing, you can say, hey, get me this, and it's there. And so understanding that connection they've gone way past things that they're doing. They've invested a lot of time, energy, and resources into understanding their impact to the customer. And every component of their business impact, from the delivery system through the drones to the same-day shipping to their little pop-up stores now, and thus they continue to increase their value by being there for the things you most need, and their impact is that immediacy.
Yeah, I have to admit that last week, yesterday morning, I was going to order something on Amazon, and I had a question. I felt like just talking to someone so I could have that answer quickly. And it's the first time that I had tried their customer service, but via phone. So you could just click on a button and someone calls you within 5 minutes, and someone actually called me back within 20 seconds to answer my question.
Wow.
I was really amazed. I was like, well, a big company like that, I mean, I'm in Canada, of course, but I don't know if it's like that in any country. But just clicking and knowing someone can call you back in 5 minutes and actually respecting that word, and not like they call you back and then you're on hold. They call you back and there's someone on the line. So,
you know, we have a comment, and we're actually going to be probably creating an entire speaking series on this. But the thing we say to folks is that who cares what you do? And I mean, if you really think about that, And you want to step back. You asked earlier about what can a business take away or a tip or whatever. Sit back for a moment and ask yourself, I'm going to start this business. I'm going to do this thing. Why should anybody care? And does anybody care? Does anybody care what we do? And the key word is what you do.
Mm-hmm.
And the truth is, no. We've been talking about this the whole time. What really people care about is the impact of what you do. And so if you can start to develop a framework around your business where you're constantly asking, does anybody care what this process does? We have CEOs who they'll say, "Hey, we've got this strategy and we're going to do this thing and we're going to take on this new initiative." And I say, "Okay, so what's the value of that, and who cares?" No, you don't understand. We're gonna go from A to B to C. I was like, all right, but what's the value of it?
Yeah, and then what?
and then, oh, by the way, all these people that work for you that are charged with executing this strategy, do they understand the value of this beyond the fact that it's gonna make the company money? Or because money's not a goal, right? Money's an outcome from all the work you do. And so what's the real value of what you're providing, and what's the real value of this strategy or whatever? And once you begin to kind of realize that, you know what, nobody really cares what I do. They don't. They don't care that I take out trash. They care that the trash is gone and I get to feel a sense of relief that I don't have stinky stuff in my house, right?
Yeah.
And so I think that's a real good takeaway, is start asking yourself, why do people care what I do, or do they even care? And then thinking on the impact.
Yeah, and that's a great message. And as we're getting close to the end of this interview, I'm curious to ask you, though, because as I told you, a lot of people are still in like having that idea and wanting to start their business online or just at the beginning of it. And I just want you to share, if you remember, how you made your first $1,000 online.
Well, I have to be completely honest. You know, I have not made money online as a digital domain. We software for us has always been a component of our service.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a support mechanism for our service. And so as it relates to making money purely online, that has not occurred for me yet. Once we move into more of a retail space of value mapping, that will become the norm. But I can tell you that part of one of our biggest customers' interests in value mapping was the ability to share and connect the value mapping process. Mm-hmm. And so that about, was about a year ago when one of our big clients said, yeah, look, it's great, this process you've got, and it's amazing. And what really pushed them to sign the dotted line, so to speak, was when they knew that their employees and their leaders could share this same process that they went through live interactively on the web and through their computers. And thus, as a service model and being able to continue what they experienced in person live and transfer that over to the web, that was really powerful. It was powerful for us as a company, and it was a very rewarding and enriching experience.
Oh, that's great. That's great. And I sincerely think also that it's the future, because a lot of companies that used to be just brick and mortar or just outside consulting services, let's say, or one-on-one, are taking advantage of the online possibilities and just, as you said, transferring it to the web. So making it more convenient for a lot of people, and especially with the traveling and all that stuff. So it's less also time consuming sometimes. And I'm not saying that the web beats the live conversations or the live meetings, because I don't think anything would or will, but it's a great extension to it. So thank you for sharing that with us.
Oh, well, thank you for asking. And it's there's value all over the place. You just need to look for it and ask the right questions.
Exactly. So, Al, if people want to connect with you, where should they go?
They can reach out through Value Mapping's our website. That's valuemapping, all one word, .com. And then also people can reach out to me through info@valuemapping.com is a great way to get a hold of me. And that will reach us and our team direct. And you can even email me direct if you want. And that's just al@valuemapping.com.
Thank you so much for such a great interview, Al. And again, like I love them, completely conversational. We had a great time. Thank you.
Yeah, we did.
Really, let me tell you, this is the type of episode that you have to listen to again and take some great notes, because I loved how Al took the time to really craft great examples and tell you how you could actually extract the best message or the result or the impact that you want to give people with what you do or what you offer as a product, as a service, and what are your values? What is your value? So listen to that again, take notes and apply it, implement that in your own online business. And of course, you'll just have great results out of it. I'm telling you. So I want to thank you for being there again for another episode of the podcast of Marketing to Crush Your Competitors podcast. And I just want to tell you before I go that if you want to host your podcast episodes on a platform that is very reliable, I totally recommend you Libsyn.com. And when you go there and you enter the promo code FAB, F-A-B, well, you will get the rest of this month free and the next month for free. So you go at Libsyn.com and you enter the promo code FAB and you'll get that. And I'm telling you, I wouldn't recommend that to you if I wasn't a very happy user of Libsyn myself. I've been using it for 3 years now, and it's the bomb. I love it. All right. So enjoy the rest of your week. I don't know if it's summer where you are, but it is here and it's quite warm and sunny the last couple of days, and I love it. So I'm sending you sunshine in your heart, in your weather, in your business, right? And I'll see you again next week for another episode of Marketing to Crush Your Competitors podcast. Take care.